speaking this morning again in the Sunday School Hour, I believe the fourth of a series on the manifestations of the Spirit of God under revival and perspectives concerning the move of God. First of all, I want to say that when you're praying for others, and this is what we're finding out at the moment, is that the Lord seems to be honoring the unity of the body and wanting us to discern the Lord's body in a new recognition that we need one another. And you see, if God is ever going to get His people to love one another and to submit to one another in love, I didn't say obey, I said submit, and to be open to one another, communicate and become real close brothers and sisters of one another, He's going to have to somehow cause us to interact, interrelate, beyond what we do in a cursory fellowship. And the method He's using, which is most effective, is to get us to pray with one another and for one another, so that as you pray for others, you begin to develop a love for them. The more you pray, the more the God begins to love them through you, and you end up feeling His love for them, which you cannot tell the difference in your own love until you begin to evaluate yourself, that person, in the light of God's evaluation, until you begin to feel what He feels, until your love builds somewhat commensurate in some kind of a relationship to His love, to that individual. And this is a marvelous thing, that how does He give you love for your brothers and sisters? Well, over and above just normally ministering to them, and normally praying for them, and normally looking after them, and communicating in fellowship, which builds love, there's another way that is much higher, much faster, much deeper, which is to give you His supernatural love. Now, He didn't just do it because you asked for it, and don't put legs to your prayers. He doesn't just do it by just come out and zap, now you love that person. He doesn't do it that way. God always works through people in certain ways that are somehow are tie-ins and ministries. And this particular way, what He's doing, as you begin to use your hands, laying on of hands to the other person, and the Spirit begins to move through you, and you begin to open up to be a channel of God's love to them and pray for God to love them, He begins to love them through you, and you feel His love. And when you feel His love, you feel that you love them. You feel like it's your love. You can't tell the difference. It feels the same. And so, just like when the devil comes in and puts your hate in somebody, you feel, you take a hold of that and begin to exercise it, you can't tell the difference between the devil's hate for them and your hate for them. And your hate will build, and this way your love will build, and as He's loving them, you yourself, your own soul, is now feeling God's love, and you are now beginning to change your evaluation of that individual. You're beginning to see them and feel them as God does, and you are beginning to love them as God does, and when He gets through manifesting His love to that individual through you at that moment, you walk away with a higher love yourself than individual, because now you have moved up into His love, His relationship. He showed you something, although you were not recognizing it, and at that moment, you have now been opened up by God to love them in a higher place. And not only that, but as you're ministering together, you begin to have the same communication in the same spirit. And it begins to bind your spirits together. There's a relationship building. Now see, God can do this. He can have every one of you on the pube all by yourself. He can come down and He can work on you individually. But then you wouldn't end up with a horizontal bond. And He's using this. A lot of people have tried all kinds of ways to develop a horizontal bond. But there's nothing that would develop a horizontal bond faster and tighter and greater and deeper than this. And He's doing that, and He's using this because He's not operating outside of it to any great extent, because if He does, we will not come together. I mean, really come together. And He's using this. It's a marvelous thing that He's doing. Now, when you're praying for somebody else, and you're in a group and you're praying for them, and a person goes down in the spirit, don't quit praying for him. Say, well, he's through. Now go to somebody else. He's not necessarily through. He's just under. And generally, it depends, but generally, when a person falls under the spirit and he lays there like a dead man, generally he's aware of what's going on. And generally, even though it looks like he's not responding, say, well, he's out of it. No, you're just praying for him. You're wasting your time completely. Not true. He feels the ministering to him. His spirit is doing business with God, what is there. And his mind, his soul is free to think, and it feels very independent of that spirit. And he has to keep a blood under subjection to the spirit. He knows when people lay hands on him. He knows what you're saying. He's listening to the singing. He's being buoyed up by it. And God is continuing to do a work in him. So continue to minister to him until the spirit lifts, at least for a season. Now, the best therapy at a time like this is usually praises, singing in the spirit, not requests. When they go under the floor, you don't say, now, Lord, do this and don't do this. And a lot of praying doesn't usually do near as much as just thanking him, praising him, magnifying his wonderful name. Songs, revelatory songs in English that he can understand that are faith-building and love-building are very highly appreciated. They really stir the spirit and lift the faith, and they're deeply encouraging to hear God's, use somebody to sing, come unto me, and I love you, my son, I'm going to do these things, and so forth, my daughter, and whatever. And they're very strengthening things that he can, because his soul is very much alive and attuned and listening. And but it's very important that if you really want to learn to do this thing right, when you've got groups of people around, you're praying in rooms and fellowships or in homes or in the church, it's very important that we learn not to intrude upon the work of the Spirit. And it's so typical. It is so natural and normal to blunder in and with loud volume begin to cut crosswise of the Spirit. It's the most natural thing in the world. A human being is a being that likes to talk. You know, his tongue's rattling all the time. And even if the head's empty, the tongue's going. And we tend to want to come in. We feel things in our hearts. You know, we want them to receive of God. We want them to do something. We want action. See, we're impetuous people that want action. And so it's easy to come in and want to say, now, oh, Lord, just start now. Lord, amen. And you just, you know, it's so easy to come in and just start trying to pour it out, but you're not yet in the Spirit. And really what we need to do is to come in, drop our volumes low, especially as men that tend to be real vocal and outgoing. Drop our spirits. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a time to come in and really supplicate and really travail in the Spirit. There is that time when God will come upon you for that and interceding. And I'm not trying to say that it shouldn't be that way. We've got one system to do it. I'm just trying to get some perspectives. I'm trying to say that when you come in together and you want to be in the Spirit, the best way is to keep the volume down and begin to softly and quietly begin to find that Spirit, the place in the Spirit, and begin to love him and open up to him and get intensely, deeply involved, where you begin to lose sight of everything else. You don't let your mind wander around and think of other things, but you begin to get lost in the Spirit. You begin to just begin to get your attention all focused upon him. And as other people around are singing lightly in the Spirit and you're singing lightly and praying, pretty soon the Spirit will come upon somebody and they will start begin to sing in the Spirit. And you can tell the Spirit has taken a hold of that. And it's not just their spirit singing out now, but God's Spirit has taken a hold of that. And he's taken that and he's beginning to really pour forth from that Spirit. And as he does, then you want to be where they are. You want to hook right into that. Because the Spirit is doing one thing. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody sings exactly the same tune at the same level, because you're incapable of doing that. But it does mean that there is a tenor that the Spirit is moving in. And you may move bass while they'll clap your soprano, but there is something which is harmonious. It may not be the exact same tune. George Vogel could explain this better. But it means that it fits. It's doing the same thing. It's saying the same thing. It's harmonious. And many can enter it. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And the cacophony of sounds is a harmonious mixture. Even though you're not in the same tune exactly, you're doing the same thing in the spirit. You're fitting right in and you feel it. And there's a unity building. It's so important that we all get in the spirit. And every man is not just singing out of his spirit without recognition of anybody else, all individually. We need to get in the spirit and have a unity in the spirit. It may take some of you a lot more adept at this than others. Some know exactly what you mean. You've been there lots of times. Some of you have never been there. You're not quite sure what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, endeavor, as you pray together, to begin to move into the spirit and God. And then as certain ones begin to move together in the spirit, and two join them, then three, and then four, and so forth, come up where they are. In other words, they are in a lively dance in the spirit. I don't mean the feet, in their hearts. And you may be supplicating. Move out of that into what the spirit is moving and begin to have a freedom and a dance in the spirit in your heart. Begin to move where the spirit is moving because he's moving in that person and begin to do it in that way. And if everybody would join, pretty soon they're all together. And then the spirit can take that. And in that unison, it's building, and it's building, and it's building. And that person has one thing that's coming in from God through all these ones in the spirit. One thing. And we need to be very careful not to just come over and lay hands on somebody. Somebody's in the spirit, and they're lost in the spirit. They get a real freedom. They're laughing in the spirit of freedom. And you don't have a freedom. Don't go over to that person without freedom and lay your unfreedom hands on that person who's in the freedom. Don't extract from him. You're not helping him. You are not ministering to him. You really are not. You really are not. We get this idea that when you lay hands and pray, you're ministering. That's not necessarily so. Not necessarily so. You can detract if you don't are not in the position to add. Unless you know where you are in the spirit and know where they are and know that you're two of you together, you should not go over there. Unless, of course, he's not broken through. If he's not moving any place, you can go over. Even if you're not in the spirit, you can go over and pray for him. But if he's in the spirit and moving, leave him unless you can join him. That's important to learn that. We must help one another, teach one another, and learn this. We'll make mistakes. We must not be critical. We must be patient, but we must learn this. It's important. Don't talk to somebody who just come out of the spirit about mundane things. This happens every so often. A person just comes up off the bottom of the spirit. Oh, he's in the glory, and you know, and he's walking. Now he's out of it, brother. That spirit is lingering. It lingers for quite a long time, and he just wants to continue to feel that presence. Don't walk up to him and start talking to him about mundane things. Be very careful. You be sensitive when we're in spiritual move of God, and things are happening in spiritual ways. Be sensitive. Around the altars and around and back, parents, don't let your kids just blunder in and out, just making this a boardwalk of observation. Don't wander around just looking at people. Get out of the way if you're not going to join them. Be in the spirit. Let's cut out the parade of observations, let's keep whatever is. Let's be reverent toward God. God's spirit is here. We need more reverence. I want to tell you something. The Christian world today is in a sub-zero place in reverence to God. He is holy, almighty. In Topeka, Kansas, when the Spirit of the Lord really fell in 1901, and they closed the Bible school down just because everybody was in the Spirit, praying and waiting upon God. Very similar things were happening to what we're seeing now. And it was such a hallowed presence that it was said that no one would walk across the floor without tiptoeing. They wouldn't just come in brashly, clop, 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 clop across the floor. They recognized the Spirit of the Lord was there in such a wonderful way that they would just tiptoe. Nobody wanted to make a sound. Nobody banged chairs. Nobody talked, sat in the periphery and talked. We need to be sensitive. You don't sit in the periphery and talk when people are in the Spirit. Laugh and be out of it. If you're not in the Spirit, move a distance. This is important. More important than you might realize. You will understand it better as you get into this place and you see it happening and you know you're in this position. The Spirit of the Lord, God is sovereign. He's high above us. We've got to get out of this idea of, we just feel we can come so brashly to God. Now, we can come with boldness on the blood-sprinkled way. We don't have to come with fear, but that boldness should be coupled with reverence. Never interrupt when seeking God. If somebody's praying, don't come up and tap them and say, brother, what time are you got? What are you going to be doing after service tonight? Do you know that, hey, I just heard, would you pray for me? Don't do that to somebody who's waiting upon the Lord. But when you're in a place where you're praying for others, and once you are certain what to do, once you know you're in the Spirit, and you know what God wants you to do, you feel it, don't hesitate. Do it. That's the other mistake on the opposite end, is people coming up and saying, I just knew that God wanted me to do this. And the person says, I felt it, I just knew, but nobody would... I just knew it too, but I was afraid. You see, if you don't do what needs to be done, there is a loss. There is a loss. We cannot afford to let fear keep us from doing what needs to be done. When you're in the military and there's something to be done, you can't afford to let fear stop you from doing it. You don't go back to your command and say, well, I know I should have done that, but I, you say, Corporal Smith, you were perfect position. We had him pinned down. You had a hill in front of you. You could have come up within 25 feet of that blockhouse and lobbed your grenades in, and you didn't do it. We could have taken the place. Now they've got us pinned down all along the beach. What's the matter with you? Well, I knew we should. I was trying to get your attention. Couldn't you see me? Well, I knew I should do it, but I'm just kind of afraid to get going. You know what I mean? No, I don't know what you mean. Fear is not to stop us from obtaining our objective or doing what we need to do. But you've got to know. You don't just blunder. When you know what to do, act precisely, quickly, and efficiently. Just do it. Don't sit and debate with the Spirit and wonder and question, talk yourself back out of it. The natural mind will always talk you back out of the Spirit. He doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. When you know by the Spirit to do something, do it without questioning. But until you know to do it, don't do it. Now, I am not saying that when... four or five of you want to get together and pray that unless you're all in the Spirit, do nothing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when somebody's in the Spirit, don't interrupt it unless you're there with them. I'm saying if God knows what you know what to do by the Spirit, do it. I'm saying don't intrude upon somebody who's in the Spirit when you're not in the Spirit. These are just helpful hints along the way. I hope you take it that way. This is not really a correction. It's just a teaching. Next, we must yield and become a part of the spiritual work of God. We've got to yield. The whole body has got to yield in services and in prayer after. There is not yet near enough yielding. There is too much keeping aloof from the Spirit of God. We need to give our minds, our spirits, our hearts over to God and come on in. Open up, become uninhibited, come on in and begin to worship. There's too much sub-level worship, worshiping in the solical mind and not in the Spirit. There's too much holding back. There's too much looking like you're looking. People have been watching the television too long. And you sit the bad thing about watching television for 11 million hours is you become detached to what you're watching and you don't learn to enter into it because you don't have to enter into it. In fact, you learn that you don't enter into it. And so you learn to be quiet and enter into it inside of yourself, and in your mind you enter into it. And so then you're in the service, if you sit there and enter into it in your mind like you're watching television, if you've been hypnotized by this television for all these years, then you are not really moving in the realms of the Spirit. All you're doing is moving in the realms of the mind. You're sitting there entering in with your mind, but that's not entering in with your spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Unless you give your mind over and your body over to your spirit, you will not be truly worshiping Him. We need to get more lively affected. I'm not trying to say we need to cut up a commotion. I say get lively affected. Let your spirit go. Begin to lose sight of everybody and everything in worship. We're too bound. We're too here looking at this person and that person, what they're doing. Now they're up here and our eyeballs are taking all these photographs. And we're not really getting lost in the Spirit. I long for this assembly And I mean all of us. I'm not trying to cut down anybody. I mean even those who have been under the Spirit of God. We're so earthbound that it takes us, you know. We're slow beings. I'm preaching to everybody. Pastor on down. We need to really begin to work together, pray together, move together in a new realm of the Spirit. Amen? So let's all enter in. Do everything we can to enter in. All the time. Just constantly keep reminding ourselves. Keep your mind in subjection. This is the time for the Lord. So give it to Him. Don't hold back. Don't stay out in the outer fringe area. Don't keep bottled up inside. Don't just try to feel or wait until you feel. Begin to move in and begin. See, because feelings are reactions. They come because they are not the thing. You don't try to find feeling. If you're trying to hunt for feeling, you're making a mistake. How can you walk down the street and find feeling? You see a car come around the corner and crash somebody, you'll get feeling. An old friend you haven't seen for years that you really love come up and give you a hug, you get feeling. Somebody threw a suitcase out of the window going around the corner when you're out in the country, and you get out and open it up and it's full of $100 bills, you get feeling. Feeling comes because of something. You don't drive around looking for feeling. See? And that's where we are in the Christian world. Many people sitting there waiting for feeling. Wrong thing. Begin to love Him. Begin to express your love. And when you feel His love, you'll get feeling. Begin to move out. When you see people move in the Spirit and things happening, you'll get feeling. But feeling's not what we're looking for. It feels good to feel. But we're looking for the substance that gives the feeling. So let's move in by faith to possess God. Amen? Oftentimes, when you're coming together to pray, because each one of you wants to come into God yourself. It's good to just join together with your arms interlocked or your hands on each other or holding hands or some way you're together at least. And all together, you begin to ask together for the Lord to come upon all of you. Begin to pray together for that law of God may come down on each one of you. But every request, every prayer of request should end up of a prayer of praise. In faith. Every time you ask, you should turn out rejoicing. If you read the Psalms, you'll see that David oftentimes would complain, and oftentimes, in his natural weaknesses, he'd complain against the enemy. He would come to God with complaints against his enemy. He'd come with hurts and fears, and he'd pray and request. But it isn't long in the Psalms, and every one of them, you see him praising God and thanking Him. Always turn it in, take a hold of it by faith, and begin then to say, yes, Lord, now I have requested, and now I know you'll hear me. So now I thank you for the answer. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And by faith, you begin to lay hold of that which you have requested, and begin to watch it then come to pass. Stay together in the group. And begin to let the Lord move in that particular way. Now, it's important as you're seeking God, and God's moving, you're praising Him, avoid imaginations. Avoid imagining. We want to save this world from going into fanaticism, don't we? So we don't want 1,000 people all imagining things, trying to feel things and imagine things. And I wonder now if this is God. Oh, I can feel this now. I wonder, now I'm trying to visualize pictures. You know, I wonder if that's a vision. Now, let me see if I can, now see if I can get that vision. Now, oh, give me a vision now. Let's see now. Oh, yeah, I begin to see this now. Yeah, I can visualize nice green meadow and here's a big palace. And yeah, so it's kind of like the ones in India. Okay, now, let me see now. Let's see. Don't begin to try to picture things. Don't figure that whatever any flat picture that flashes in your mind is a vision, because you know you can imagine pictures in your mind, can't you? And if you're very want, as the old English word is, to, you know, be thinking and picturing things, don't count these as visions. Don't be like that cartoon I saw, these old ladies on a golf course, and one of them putted and the ball went right to the edge of the cup. She picked up the scorecard and she says, I'm counting it as in it should be. See? Don't be like that. Well, I'm counting this as a vision because it should be. See? It was close enough, you know. See? I imagined something. Got a picture. God is giving lots of visions. But we don't want to add to that a thousand imaginations and count some visions. Avoid trying to feel. Trying to see what you can feel. The more you try to feel, the less you'll usually naturally feel. Because feelings are reaction, and when you get all trying to and trying to do and feel, you're inhibiting. When you let loose of all that, not trying to do anything, and just love Him and get lost in His Spirit, then you begin to be open to really receive of the Lord, and feelings come much more full because they are the reactions to the things that you are experiencing in the Spirit. The person who tries to find God through a lot of work, usually one who doesn't find Him at that time, when you're there trying to just trying to do everything possible, just, you know, your intention, and you're just trying so desperately to get God, everybody's praying on you, and you feel obligated, I got to find Him, all these people around, you know. And I mean, they're all praying for Him. If I don't, they'll be horribly disappointed, which is all wrong motive. And you're trying so hard to get it, it's a natural thing, but it's still the wrong motive. It's not an evil motive, it's just not the right motive. And you're trying to press in, you're usually inhibiting the flow of the Spirit. Because this is a passive thing. It's a receiving of God's Spirit. There's no way you can get it by receiving. I mean, no way you can receive by taking action. What you've got to do is just to open up your channel, your heart, and say, Lord, I lay my all on the altar. I sacrifice myself. And not with words only, but with commitment. I'm making a decision. I am giving up those little areas of my life I know that are not right. I just want to open up. I will receive love. I will give love. I will minister. I will do anything you want. And as you're doing this, you're opening up your heart, making commitment. You're saying, Lord, search my heart. See if there's any wicked way. Show it to me. I'll do it. And mean it. Be careful that you're honest with God. And deal with your heart. And as you're dealing with your heart and you open yourself up and you say, Lord, I now recognize what you've done for me. I'm looking back and I'm thinking how you brought me out of sin, how you brought me to the place, how you changed my life. Lord, I got so much to praise you for. And now you're sending this rain. Now you're blessing. I know the promise is mine. I'm accepting it for mine. So now I thank you for it because I know I'm going to get it. And now I'm anticipating it by faith in my mind and in my heart. I recognize it's mine. It's coming. It's for me. I'm going to receive. Perhaps even today. Lord, as they're laying hands, I'm going to claim it even for now. I'm going to claim it for mine. I thank you for it. Lord, I just love you for doing all this. Just honest, real honest thinking and feelings expressed to God that would build to let your faith go and to receive will get you a lot further than just trying so hard. There's no way to get Him by trying. Don't try to induce others to feel that they must have manifestations. Don't subconsciously, or unconsciously, I guess the word is, don't leave people inadvertently with the impression that they've got to have a manifestation to satisfy you and everybody else and themselves and God. Just by the subtle things you do and, all right, brother, now, you know, get your feet moving and, you know, shuffle it, you know, and start doing, I mean, anything you might say or infer, let manifestations follow naturally. God would have each person receive what he has as he gives, and them to react normally to whatever he gives. So let's don't get caught up in a system. Getting caught in a system is a sure way to hurt revival and corral things. Then God can't move. Everybody's looking for systems and methods and manifestations instead of for him. And he said, now you've lost it again. You were seeking me, you were loving me, you were hungry for me, and now you're all caught up to see who can dance the most. Now have you had your turn to dance? Well, I haven't fallen yet. Everybody gets worried about this, and now what happens? He says, now you're not seeking me anymore. Now get your eyes off of me. And so now I have to lift my spirit again until you learn. And we've got to be very careful about this. We do not want to hurt this work of God. Now I'm not suggesting that we're having all kinds of problems. I'm just trying to, you know, stitch in time saves nine. And I'm just trying to get in here at the very outset and keep us from having a lot of problems. We need to be very careful then not to ruin this work of God through fanaticism, through acting, through imaginations, through overclaiming. Don't overclaim. Don't take what happened and embellish it. Put whipped cream on it, gold fringes around it, and put a light on it. Trade it. Tell it as it is. Don't get your eyes on manifestations. Now, I like to make a kind of qualification here. You see, we are people that haven't been. Now, I'm talking about we. I mean the whole Christian world. The whole Christian world has not really been in tune with God as it should have been. It really hasn't. They're not in the Spirit. They've only made occasional visits to God. They do not live in the realms of the Spirit. Even if they think they do or claim they do, they don't. And as God is beginning to move on us, we begin to spend hours and every night, every day we're praying and waiting on God, and we begin to learn to keep in His thoughts and the Spirit all the day and around the clock and go to bed at night and wake up in the morning. And God begins to move on you in ways that feel so marvelously. And there's such that you, well, it's striking to you, and it's only normal that a person tell about it. It's what somewhat normal to be a little bit excited about it. It's sort of normal that he tell about it. I think we need to be careful not to judge people by saying, well, you know, I think I detect in them a little glowing in the manifestation. Well, when your turn comes, maybe you'll do a little bit too. But the point, I think we need to be careful. Even while we're on one side saying, don't glory in manifestations and get your eyes on them, on the other side, we need to be careful that we don't become judgmental every time somebody mentions a manifestation and say, well, I don't know, I think he's getting a little bit caught away with the manifestation. You know, this far distance presupposing, you see, that person feels, he knows what he felt. And he's excited about it. It meant something. I mean, he waited years to have these experiences in God. And now there was some accompanying manifestation. Granted, the manifestation doesn't mean a lot, but you don't really know that the most important thing to him is the manifestation just because he's mentioning it, do you? You don't really know that. That would be a guess, perhaps a false accusation, an erroneous assumption, an unfair judgment. And unless we allow the devil to come in and start getting us to become critical as we're listening to things, remember, if this person dances in the Spirit, for example. First time he's ever done it his entire life, he's felt marvelous inside. He's going to tell somebody. After all, the girls tell each other when they change the color on the fingernails. You know, they tell each other when they, you know, rinse their hair, put their hair up. Get it permanent or something. I mean, if you're going to do it on little things, then aren't you going to do it in the spiritual areas too? So let's not get totally unreasonable and unnatural and suspect that a person who has spiritual experiences never relate them to anybody. He's going to relate them. And he's going to rejoice in the fact that he was able to be used by God a bit, and God's used him and he's reacted to God. We just dare not begin to magnify that thing and get our eyes on it and lift it up and seek it and make it the big thing. If I'm not worried about somebody who gets up and tells about his manifestation if something happened. But 2 years from now, if he's still all excited about the same manifestation he's felt 50 times, then you get a problem on your hands, see. Something's happening now. He should have grown out of that. And so, naturally, there's going to be some expression of that, and it's only reasonable that there should be. And in fact, I think it's healthy that there should be. There needs to be an explanation of what's happening. And also, we have to watch for the feel of not rejoicing with a person when he's under the Spirit of God and you see some manifestations. I don't want you to get lopsided on one side or the other. If I see a person dancing in the Spirit, I rejoice with him. I don't say, oh boy, this is fun, you know, isn't this funsy, you know, look at him bounce, look at him jumping, look how twirl, look how, you know, I don't look at the manifestation as the thing. I'm rejoicing because inside, his spirit is free. So free that he cannot help but dance. But you can get yourself in a trap, you can sit in the chair and somebody's dancing in the spirit and you're like a sober old judge, you know. And, well, I can't enjoy this. I'm not supposed to. I'm not supposed to enjoy this. I mean, after all, it's only a manifestation. I'm not supposed to enjoy this. You know, you can get yourself in a place, you know, where you can't really rejoice with the brother what's happening. You should rejoice in it. But you should see beyond the manifestation. That manifestation should tell you something. It shouldn't tell you that he's dancing. It should tell you his spirit is dancing. His heart is dancing. Something inside is dancing. He is free. He's excited in God. And he can't hold still. It's important we don't get our eyes on man. It's important we don't say, well, you know, I've been waiting for that particular elder to come and lay his hands on me, and I'm going to go over one of these days and ask him to. I don't think you should be doing that. I think you ought to leave it up to them to come to you. Oh, you mean that we're going to have to wait till they come to us? If you say that, I think you got a problem. Their hands, I'm going to tell you something. This is not to discredit us elders. But on the other hand, this type of body ministry and bringing things through is not a work of the government. It is a work of the body. And a government laying hands on you will not necessarily get you through any faster than a group of saints or other saints about that are not in the eldership trained for you. And that's the truth. That is the truth. Don't you think that we got some magic in those right reverend pre-laid hands up there? That's not true. And this idea of got to wait till they come, I can hardly wait till they come, somebody. The Lord's going to come to you. As a body, you're open before him. So don't be looking for the pastor or the pastor's wife or this elder or this particular person or this intercessor. True that intercessors and people who are much in the spirit are more free, are able to really minister more effectively than those that are not free. But many, many of you are free, and that's all it takes is a freedom. But don't try to bog people down and get your eyes upon people. That will, again, divert the whole thing from the Lord. Avoid seeking status by saying, well, now I've attained to this. I got 3 out of 7, you know, of these things. Avoid any status feelings and try not to outdo anybody. Realize one of the best helps not to magnify manifestations is the realization that manifestations generally is a reaction to God's Spirit. That's at level one, as I mentioned the other day, what I'll call level one, but level one is the usual. And I would say 90% of all manifestations, at least, are at what I call level, defined as level one last week. And you see, we can't help but cry and laugh and sing and fall and dance and clap and feel as God just subdues our spirit and sets us free. But the spirit is the substance. And our reactions are only our reactions, and nothing to get our eyes on. It's just like you wouldn't go around copying somebody eating a popsicle if you didn't have a popsicle. You wouldn't go around and say, you know, because you don't have the popsicle. You can't get the taste by copying the reaction of the taste. See, you can't do that. It wouldn't make sense, would it? In the spirit, people do that. I mean, not in the spirit, but I mean in church services. There are people that, in fact, I know church services, all the whole services run that way. Everybody runs around copying manifestations and nobody's got anything. They're all pretending they got spiritual popsicles. Nobody's got anything. They all get up and all they're trying to do they're using it to try to get it. To try to feel they've got it, the light of their own mind that they've got it, and impress other people they've got it. And you can't get anything that way. You can't get the substance by practicing reactions. But, conversely, we can love more freely if we let ourselves go. And we can speak more freely if we let ourselves go. And we can sing more freely if we let ourselves go. And that's so not only in the natural realm, it's so in the spiritual realm. You know, you singers know that if you try to sing sitting down, slumped over, with just part of your energy, you cannot sing the same way. And you know that you don't love, you cannot, if you're inhibited, there's lots of people around you and you're embarrassed and you're trying to love with your lover here on the park bench when everybody's running back and forth and you're inhibited and nervous, you cannot feel and express your love the same way. You can't speak the same way when you're in front of a huge auditorium and you're all inhibited and you're worried about the lights and the platform and the people. You have got to be free to do a good job. In the spirit, it's exactly the same. As long as you've got fears, inhibitions, worried about people, worried about what's going to happen to you, fearing, doubting, wondering, mind wandering, all these other things, you cannot receive the same thing in the spirit. You are going to have to be absolutely free. You're going to have to let yourself go. You have got to forget other people, get lost in God until you don't care or know who's around you, what's happening, what's going to happen. All you're going to do is love Him and worship Him and enter in and receive everything and with all the intensity you've got. Therefore, we've got to break beyond this position of, you know, see, I'm so glad Jesus set me free, you know. We're going to have to get unhinged, you know. Get your shoulders like a snake's jaw. Unhinge it. Get it loose. And, you know, sometimes loosening yourself up this way is a device to help you get more uninhibited so you can receive more. It is true. I have prayed for many people in days gone by in Pentecost seeking for the Holy Ghost. They're down in the chair like this, you know. And you're praying for them. Everybody's praying for them. And as long as they're this, they're under the breath, they're just, yes, Jesus, so forth, fill me now, Lord, and so forth, mumble, 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 mumble. And you go to them, and you take the arms, and you begin to lift their arms up. And as their arms come up this way, their head comes up. Once the arms and heads up, almost always, they'll begin to speak out more fluently, and they'll begin to receive more because they've been inhibiting themselves. They're in a certain framework. You've got to get out of a certain framework into another framework. It's important to understand what I'm talking about. This is important. You can go for years and never receive. The person trying to receive the Holy Ghost, and he won't even talk. His mind is praying. Until he'll begin talking in English and praising Him and begin to open up, God can't fill him. He's inhibiting it. He's blocking God. He will not give the Spirit His body. If you want to use your tongue, you've got to get it in motion. And then you've got to come up to the anointed slot. He's not going to come down where you are, so you're going to have to come up where He is. Now, I'm not saying you're going to play act this whole thing, but what I am saying is, when you are inhibiting, then sometimes you have got to take actions to break the inhibiting. You say, isn't that hypocritical? No, it's hypocritical not to. Because if you feel love for God and you feel faith for God and don't show it, aren't you being a hypocrite? So why is everybody who says, well, yeah, I feel faith in my heart, I believe God, I feel the love of God, then why are you not showing it then? Why are you pretending you do not show it when you feel it? Why are you hiding it? That would be more hypocritical than showing it. If you believe that you really love Him and appreciate Him and believe that God's going to do something, well, then act like it. It's only our fears. You know, we have for so long been in a shell, feeling rejected, feeling criticized, feeling judged, feeling looked at, that we cannot let ourselves go. People walk across the floor and say, oh, I was so embarrassed walking for the classroom and my shoes were going squeak, 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 you know. And I felt, you know, and I didn't have my makeup on, and I was sure that everybody was looking at me. Saying, boy, doesn't she look pale? And I mean, I'm paying attention, see? But they, you know, people are so. So you get this idea that everybody's focused on them, and you know what part of this problem is caused by carnal spirits judging all their life, from the time you're little to the time you're old, constantly judging one another until we feel so judged. We're in the big iron casket. We just peek out a little bit, you know. We can't open up. We're so afraid we're going to get judged and smashed. It's really hurt us bad, this constant judgmental criticism all the time. That's one reason, just one of the many reasons, why that television is such a damnable thing. It's such a hurtful thing. No, I didn't swear for you that don't know these things. That which leads people into damnation. I am certain that TV set is a device that have led many to damnation. I'm not saying the article is wrong and the medium is wrong, but I am saying the use of it, the normal use of it, or I should say the general use of it, has certainly tended toward damning people's souls. But on the television, you're watching this program, this funsy program. You know, all the guys come in, all the wise remarks and all the, you know, little, all the little full of snide remarks. You ever notice that? Loaded with snide remarks. Sure, they're funny, but you're building reaction in the kids so that they pop off on these snide remarks when somebody walks in. Smart aleck, slapbacks, sarcasms. Those things are not good. They are cutting, accusing, hitting back things that develop an attitude of going in a shell and snapping them back. Somebody comes and touches you and you just snap them back with something. And you get so defensive you can't ever find out what you really are. And this constant fighting, they always fight. You get any program with a bunch of kids on it and they'll fight. And generally if they're a woman and a man and they're lovers, they fight too. Everybody's fighting all the time. They say, well, that's normal life. Well, then we better keep away from that normal world fight that comes from the pit. I mean, wake up. Time your kids watch 11,000 hours of that. Don't think they're not going to be infected. Then you try to come to church, try to affect them by a few hours in the spirit and turn the whole thing over. Pretty hard to do. So we're straining inside. We have got to learn to get free in the spirit. And it's hard because we have not been free in our spirits and souls with one another. If we would have been full of love and no criticism, it would have been much easier then. We've been hurt so badly. It's going to take all the work we can to help one another and pray for one another and get deliverance and open up. We need to learn to open up. One more thing. God is revealing. He is giving a revelation to certain individuals of the body of Christ through the spiritual experiences that they are having. Now, what I mean by that is that an individual will receive an experience from God with some revelation with it, and he will recognize by the Spirit that what's happening to him or her, as the case may be, is what God wants for this body. He will sense and maybe see a vision and understand that although he feels these things happening to him and they apply to him, he will recognize also by the Spirit that they are, this applies to the body of Christ, that they are, he sees himself or herself, and that will be as the body of Christ. And when others come and minister, he'll recognize these are people ministering to the body of Christ. Now that might seem far-fetched and unusual to some of you, but the Bible is full of it. The Bible is absolutely full of such analogies and typology where certain ones and situations is indicative of the church or whole body. For example, in Galatians, Paul tells us concerning Hagar and concerning Isaac and concerning Ishmael and concerning Sarah, saying this, Hagar is, is this and this, and so is this and this, and this is generous to bondage, and this is the free woman, and this and so forth. And it uses their names to say they're something else. Happens all the time in Scripture. God is doing that, and I'm beginning to see an increase of it, which means, what I'm trying to say is, don't be stumbled that some people experience things by the Spirit for the whole body. Somebody was stumbled by the experience that I had and up at the retreat, and when I had an experience there, and I recognized, and I explained it, I thought, but as I lay there in the Spirit, and people laid their hands on me and was ministering to me, I recognized the need, the desperate need that the pastor had for everyone to love him. Because you see, unless you really can have a love in the Spirit, and I was only talking about the Spirit, not the flesh. I know you love me, in the natural and the soulical mind and so forth. You do. I know you love me, most all of you at least, and I love you. I say most all of you because some might be those who don't know me. I can't claim everybody pops in the door necessarily loves me, but those who've been around a while, I feel that you do. I love you, and I think you feel my love, and you know that, and you love me. But in the Spirit, there's a higher realm, and many have blocked. They have not allowed themselves to open up and receive the real love. And every so often there's a testimony. There's one last night, for Friday night, for example. And this person was blocked. What did he receive? They loved me intellectually and soulical. They really did. They wanted to receive my love. There's something blocking because of their childhood, as he explained it. And then God set them free. They open up, and now the brother, the sister, the pastor, all of us, the parents, all of a sudden the spouse, there was a new ability to express and meet them in the spirit and in love. And I felt that. And then I was feeling, and then after I felt the need to you to be joined to me, because when you really love me in the spirit, really love me like you should, we're not going to have any problem with submission or criticalness, misunderstanding, feeling unloved, hurt, so forth. It's going to be wonderful. Then I saw another phase where that body was representing the church body. And I felt supernaturally, spiritually, in a supernatural way, in the spirit, what the absolute crying out of the body for each member to minister to the body. And my body was as the church body, the body of Christ. Until when there was a hand there, it was, thank you, Lord. Yes, another one has come in to minister to this body. But now there were some outside in the peripheral areas. Had not really come in. And I saw it was like those on the outside. It was a very figurative thing. I even explained it like to what Ezekiel went through, laying on his left side for Israel and his right side for Judah so many days. And then I saw the next phase. Well, it represented Christ himself. Unless you think that's blasphemy and getting the big head, the Bible says that the man represents Christ and the woman the church. It's the very symbol of the whole Bible. And so, I felt the absolute crying out, not of Don Barnett, but of Christ. It became so unusual. It became so strong, the desperation, the longing for each one to come in. It was just like, oh, and somebody would come in and would come in to a unity together in Christ and love. Now, a few days later, the same people singing the same songs. I mean, not the same song, but singing in the Spirit, laying their hands on me the same way, same hands were ministering to me. It wasn't the same at all. Didn't do the same thing. I didn't get the same type of fantastic emotions and longings and fulfillments because it wasn't done typologically in the Spirit. That was over with. Now they were just ministering to me. They felt very human. The whole thing was different. Somebody totally misunderstood that, took it to mean a complete physical, sexual type of experience, which I did not mean in the slightest, had nothing to do with what I was talking about. And so what I'm trying to say is, don't be tossed from your judgment if God is using somebody to show them the necessity of discerning the Lord's body and how the body needs to move together. And the necessity of being joined together, because I've listened to a number of testimonies now where God is doing that. People are experiencing that type of thing. And what he's doing in experiencing this is showing you something that you... He's not giving you theology or changing theology, but he's putting a light on your theology and causing you to know that theology in an experiential way like you could never know it otherwise. You now feel that theology. He's teaching you something. Before this gets through, we may all experience that. I don't know. Maybe everyone. So open your mind. There are people that still want to sit back and judge. My friend, unless you have moved in the Spirit all your life and have tremendous experiences in God and know all these things in the Spirit, you're in no position to be judging other people and things that you know nothing about because you've had a few little experiences. Their experiences are not like your experiences. Even if you've had a few big ones, that does not cover the whole ground. There's a lot of things God is doing. Don't make everything judged after, you know, what your experience is. Now, lest anyone mistake, we're not having a lot of trouble. I don't mean to infer that. We're not having a lot of trouble. Things are going marvelously. We're having a lot less counseling where the people are moving. I mean, we've got good reactions. When I've asked the other day how many people had felt they had at least one substantial footstep since this revival, I was amazed to find out how many people I was so pleasantly surprised to find out how many people really felt that they'd entered into a substantial first step, at least. And yet I don't think there's anybody, no matter how many steps we've taken, so to speak, in the Spirit, that doesn't realize and feel so strongly how much more there is. As a matter of fact, I think after you've had 2-3 experiences in the Spirit of the soul, you feel there's so much more to get than you did before you even started. That generally happens. Now, I think I've explained that well enough. clock has gone off up here. What time is it? It's 11 now? Thank you. God's doing a wonderful thing. And I'm really excited about what God is doing. Because it's giving a new breath to the church. It's giving a new vision, a new excitement, a new moving in. You know, if God would just come down and just give us everything we wanted, we'd go right back to the old pattern. But He knows how to just keep enticing us, giving us more to get us to draw in deeper and deeper and deeper. So just let God do that work in you. I'm going to say one.